Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
1 hour down, man, that was quick. We're having a lively debate about the NFL sending a wild card game to a new streaming service, Peacock, which is the NBC streaming service. And some of you finding us on Facebook and Twitter with a variety of responses. It sounds like a few of you get NBC's Peacock service with your cable package. I don't know whether or not I do, but I'll have to check it out. Others of you are saying, heck no, it's too much. Some of you are saying it's cheap, it's worth the investment. Ooh, got another tip from a listener who found us on Twitter. I'll share that coming up. On Facebook, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, we're always glad to connect with you even when you're grumbling and complaining. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, second show of the work week, first one without a basketball game in such a long time, though we will look ahead to Western Conference Finals tipping off on Tuesday night. But since we had this calm before the storm, other than the Game 7 in Dallas, great opportunity to figure out what we've missed or you've missed in Major League Baseball over the first quarter of the season. To that end, we welcome our friend and colleague, Matt Snyder, writer, reporter, insider for CBS Sports. And I think, Matt, the number one topic of conversation the last time we had you on the show was the pitch clock, the violations, the pace of play, going back to spring training. And as we're coming out of it, we were talking about how this would impact the game in 2023. I hear nothing about it anymore. You're immersed in the game, though. Do you still hear about the pitch clock and the pace of play now that we're into mid-May?
Very, very few and far between. Every once in a while, I'll see a complaint on social media about how they're such in a rush to play the games, and I'm just not seeing it. I don't feel like they're rushing. I feel like they're just playing instead of standing around all night. I don't think that people would notice it if not for the score bug on most broadcasts has the pitch clock on it so you can see it, and every once in a while there's a violation. But even the violations go almost so seamlessly. A lot of times I don't think people even notice it. You just see like there's an extra ball or strike and think you just missed the pitch or something. So probably we'll be more focused on it during the playoffs, for example, or if it gets to be a big spot. But we'll have been playing this way for so long, I don't think there's going to be much of an impact come playoff time. So really it's just the games move at a lot quicker pace. There's a lot less standing around. There's a lot less dead time. I think it's a good way to hopefully continue to bring in casual fans and keep them instead of driving them away when they're sitting there staring at guys standing around doing nothing, you know, and saying, like, hey, this is actually exciting.
I kind of feel like if when to cut off beer sales is the biggest complaint, then yeah, Baseball has finally struck it rich with this formula, but also the fact that people would miss two innings if they were standing in a concession line.
Well, and I want to say this, too. The diehard fans who are complaining and thinking they liked the game how it was, well, that's fine, but we're not going anywhere anyway. It's more about selling the game to a new group of fans, selling to the next generation, maybe bringing back casual fans who had lapsed with the way that the game had gone. And one of the big things is telling a family on a weeknight, you can go to a game and still get home at a reasonable hour. And instead of having to leave the game early, maybe, where now you're kind of very, very likely to be able to see the end of the game, whereas before you probably would have to leave a few innings early because the games were taking too long. And I think that's a big deal. As much money as it costs people to go to the games, you don't see NBA teams or NFL teams essentially telling fans, well, it takes 3.5-4 hours into all hours of the night, so you're probably going to have to leave before the game's over or just be really tired for work tomorrow. I don't think we should be trying to make people make that choice. So that's one of the main reasons that I like it.
How are pitchers and hitters adjusting? Because we got a few complaints and then, of course, the violations early on.
I think most of them are okay with it. Occasionally you'll see a quick little complaint or you'll see maybe signals got crossed, or just tonight I saw in particular Christopher Morel on the Cubs is a rookie. Well, he was a rookie last year. He's a second-year man, but he just came up from the minors, where they do have a clock, by the way, but I don't know if maybe the umpires are operating it differently. There was some confusion, but it was just a quick discussion with the umpire. That's most of the stuff that we see, is whether it's a pitcher or a hitter discussing with the umpire, like, hey, what was going on there? Why couldn't I do this, this, or this? And again, those are the types of things that will be ironed out throughout the course of the season. But also, there's discussions about a lot of other things with the umpires, not just revolving around the clock. So some of that's just kind of normal.
Matt Snyder of CBS is with us covering baseball about 41 games into the season now. And since it was a quiet night on the playoff stage, it's a great opportunity to catch up with the Diamond Drama. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. What is the secret sauce for the miracle Tampa Bay Rays, Matt?
They are incredibly good at scouting. I think it's other organizations, but also themselves. They know how to bring out the best in their players, but they also know what players they can target from other teams who are undervalued, whether it's Harold Ramirez before last season started, for example, or Randy Arozarena when he was kind of a cast-off from the Cardinals. Different type of guys. Yandy Diaz wasn't really that heralded when they got him from Cleveland. They just target some of these guys, and they get the absolute best out of them. Mix in Wander Franco, who's a superstar at age 22 right now. They've got a great mix there. You know, Shane McClanahan, another homegrown guy. They're heading up their rotation. On the arms front, they just know which arms they can target. It's always going to be cheap guys. And then they're going to get the absolute best out of them. They're going to teach them how to miss bats. They're going to teach them how to play kind of within their system. They're just really, really good at it, targeting the types of guys that they think are going to fit into their system and getting the absolute best out of them.
How much staying power do they have with that formula?
I think a lot, because they don't tie themselves to guys long term. It's almost easy come, easy go. They did have the Wander Franco signing. Maybe that's this generation's version of Evan Longoria, who signed a couple long-term deals there before he went to another team. But it's, for the most part, they do things, like I said, with like Harold Ramirez, for example. Before last offseason, the Cubs had traded for him, and then the Cubs didn't want him anymore, so the Rays just grabbed him. He's hitting over 300 with an over 500 slugging right now. It's just, I think they can continue to have success and finding these types of guys at the margins, just because they're so good at identifying them. The only way it would get away from them is if a lot of other teams got as good at this as they did, but they're just better.
It's amazing. Only team in Major League Baseball that is better than 30 wins at this point. Though the entire American League East is above 500, we're certainly seeing other teams in the AL start out hot, like the Texas Rangers. Matt, what are the chances that all these moves that the Rangers have made over the last two or three off seasons are finally paying off?
I think that they're going to continue to stay in the wild card mix. I do think the Astros are going to run them down, maybe even a little quickly right here, because the Astros have won 5 of 6 all of a sudden. Jose Altuve is not that far from coming back. Alex Bregman just hit a big home run. Maybe he's going to get going. The Astros are going to be there. They're the Astros. They're great. The thing about the Rangers that I thought heading into the year was, they have so much upside, especially in the rotation, but they also have so many pratfalls, especially with injury risks. And we've already seen Jacob deGrom get hurt. But we know all about the injury history of Nathan Eovaldi, John Gray, Martin Perez, Andrew Haney. They have a rotation full of guys who can pitch like aces for stretches, but can go down for 6 weeks at a moment's notice. if somehow they can get to the playoffs and all those guys are firing on all cylinders, they could make a Phillies-like World Series run. It's just a question of, are they going to get to the playoffs? Or if they do, are all those guys going to be healthy and upright? Mm. Because, like I said, Eovaldi right now would be an all-star and would be in the mix for the Cy Young. Jacob deGrom is Jacob deGrom. We know all about that. Just getting those two guys right when they're throwing as well as they can for the playoffs, that's a heck of a 1-2 punch right there. And that's kind of why I said the Phillies there with Nola and Wheeler last year. And offensively, they've had the best offense in baseball. Corey Seager's only played 11 games.
Right.
They have upside on both things. They're going to be streaky. They're going to have some real down moments, and maybe we haven't seen the lowest of the lows. But they'll get hot again. They're just going to be really streaky.
Next to the Rays, they have the highest run differential in baseball.
Yeah.
For the Rays, though, maybe it's more about how stingy the pitching is as opposed
both.
To
yeah, right,
just the hitting. While we're talking about the American League West, the Angels are still above 500. That may be an accomplishment in and of itself in mid-May. Ohtani on the mound tonight also has a ton of bases. He's busy all the time. The better Ohtani plays, how does it impact his future and whether he stays with the Angels?
I think a lot of it has to do with if the Angels are a playoff team or not, because he has made clear in the nicest way possible, because that's how Ohtani is.
I love it.
But it's been made very clear that he does not like missing the playoffs at all, and he's tired of missing the playoffs, and he wants to play for a contender. If they fall out of contention, that's when you worry about the rumors picking up. Are they even going to be able to pull off a trade that makes sense when it seems like you're trading an ace and one of the best hitters in the league? It seems like it's two players, but somebody who's going to be trading for him would say, well, yeah, it might be like two players, but if one gets hurt, they both get hurt. Mm. It's the same dude. And it's only a couple months after the trade deadline. I don't know if anybody could match up, which means the Angels are just left holding the bag when he's probably not going to re-sign with them if they don't make the playoffs. If they do stay in contention, though, that'll be really fun, because I think having an Ohtani and Trout in the playoff mix would be incredibly good for baseball. It would be a lot of fun. Anthony Rendon has been hitting pretty well, especially lately. Of course, now he just got hurt, speaking of the injury issues that we just talked about. But it's a team that would be fun to be in the national consciousness in terms of winning games and not just having Ohtani and Trout. It'll be interesting to see if they can hang around. And if they do, if they're going to be the ones who can re-sign him. Because you know the Dodgers are going to put the full court press on him. That's right in the same area of the country. You know the Mets are all the way on the other side of the country. I'm sure maybe the Yankees will throw their hat in the mix. There are other mega market teams like the Cubs or Rangers, and not a mega market team, but we have heard that the Padres might be in on him as well,
wow,
believe it or not. So it could get really fun.
Seriously, Matt, if the World Baseball Classic was any indication, we need him on the game's biggest stage in October.
Absolutely.
We need it.
It was amazing to see that big double and how crazy he went, and then to see him go back out to the bullpen and come in and start dealing 100 out of the bullpen. Can you imagine that in like a World Series Game 7? Having him, let's say he started Game 5, so they know they can bring him back in relief. He's in the order, he's taking important at-bats, then he's trying to hustle out to the bullpen to get ready, then he's coming in. Like, that would be surreal.
Matt Snyder is with us to talk some baseball here on this Monday night into a Tuesday morning. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. All right, you bring up the Dodgers. The last time you and I spoke in spring training, end of spring training, there are a lot of doubts around the Dodgers and the fact that they maybe didn't make enough improvements to stick with, say, the Padres or even to win the NL West again. Yes, there's a long way to go, but they have taken off like a rocket. What's gotten into the Dodgers, Matt?
Here's the thing. In a way, they're like the Rays with money. We've seen that they can pull off trade for Mookie Betts and then re-sign, do the huge signing with Freddie Freeman. Again, I expect them to be in on Ohtani. But also, they're so good at figuring out how to scramble and plug holes at the margins when they need to. We've seen them take castoffs like Chris Taylor and Max Muncy, make them into a big deal. We've seen them just this year. Gavin Lux was supposed to take over at shortstop when Trey Turner signed elsewhere, and he tore his ACL. Well, they kind of rearranged the furniture, and James Outman ends up getting plugged in center fielder as an everyday role, and he would be the National League Rookie of the Year right now. they're just so good at being able to do stuff like that. And remember, it was several years ago, but when we first found out about Cody Bellinger at the big league level, it was because Adrian Gonzalez got hurt. That's just the way they operate. It's always next man up, and they always seem to find a guy to plug in there. And, of course, they have the superstars, you know, with Freeman and Betts and Will Smith. Clayton Kershaw, by the way, ever heard of him?
Oh,
having
my gosh.
Another huge year. Mm-hmm. Another huge year. You can't say enough about how good they are organizationally.
Yeah, you're right about Kershaw. He leads them in pretty much every category. What do you make of the sweep over the Padres this past weekend? Now, they play a lot of games. I get it. It's still early in the season, but the Padres were supposed to be able to exercise their demons here.
Yeah, I mean, I was all in on the Padres winning the division before the season, so my first thought was shame on me. Like, until the Dodgers actually show that they're not going to be, you know, they've won the division every year since 2012, except for the time that the Giants won 107 games, but the Dodgers won 106. Until they actually show, that was so dumb of me to not pick the Padres over them. Look, there's still plenty of time, and I do think the Padres are going to get hot, but it was probably the Dodgers kind of making a statement these last 2 weekends. Look, they took 2 of 3 in San Diego, then they swept them on in Dodger Stadium. Those happen on consecutive weekends. Hey, just a little reminder here, who actually runs this division? That's kind of the way I looked at it. But again, it's Padres could get hot. They have so much talent there. I'm expecting a hot streak from them at some point, and we're only a fourth of the way.
What is a team right now that you would call a dark horse that has piqued your attention in this first quarter of the season?
Maybe the Blue Jays. I know that the Yankees kind of kicked their teeth in tonight, but 24-17, they're 12-4 at home. They haven't played that many home games, but they've been great at home. They look really good at times, but it's not like you could look at them and say, oh, well, everything's gone right for them, because they have a lot of guys who aren't playing nearly as well as I believe they're going to play. So I think the Blue Jays could really hit a surge there, and especially with the Rays overshadowing everybody in the AL East, the Orioles ahead of the Blue Jays kind of getting a lot of attention, as well they should, because of how low they were down in the dumps 2 years ago, kind of on the up and up right now and playing really good baseball. I feel like the Blue Jays might be lying in the weeds a little bit there.
I think the Pittsburgh Pirates, just for the fact that the fans actually have something to be so excited about, they're still above 500. It may not last. In fact, they've taken a bit of a downturn in the last, 2 weeks. Still, for Pittsburgh fans to actually have a reason to cheer into mid-May is a step forward.
20-8 was a heck of a start, and it was cool to see PNC Park relatively full again. Didn't quite take me back to like the wild card game when they were chanting at Johnny Cueto and he dropped the baseball and Russell Martin had the home run, because that was amazing. It showed how that place could be rocking if they were a relevant team again, and that would be fun. Don't think it's happening though. Since that 20-8 start, they are 2-11. So yeah, they're collapsing on top of themselves, but still over 500, as you said. Maybe they can kind of get a little bit back and stop the skids here, but I'm not expecting that. But still, it was nice, like I said, to see the crowds relatively full there.
I like the use of past tense. Poor Pirates fans. All right, before I let you go, Matt, it kind of rocked the baseball world a few weeks ago. The A's are the only team right now that do not even have double-figure wins, but they've got other stuff going on as they get closer and closer to a move to Vegas. We're hearing now about a stadium proposal and $1.5 billion in Las Vegas. What's a reaction to that?
I think that it's mostly shame on A's ownership and how it was long one of the really good organizations in baseball, and things kind of fell off the rails. The stadium situation ended up being bad. They tried to get with, you know, the city and the county in the Oakland area. Somehow it didn't work out. Most of the blame is from the outside is going on A's ownership and saying they should have done a lot more to try to stick there in the area. I'm interested to see how things go in Las Vegas. It will be the smallest television market in baseball, beating out the Brewers. Well, not really beating out, I guess. But there is the aspect there of the travel. And I know that, for example, especially in football, when they only have 8 or 9 home games, it's pretty easy to sell a lot of tickets to opposing fans when it's only one time a week and it's 8 or 9 games. It's got to be a little bit tougher when it's 81 home games, but it is a series. You know, it's three at a time. Maybe you'll get, I know that the teams who don't go there often, for example, that are large market, travel well, Cubs, Cardinals, Braves, teams like that from the National League who don't go there a lot, mm-hmm. I have no doubt that they will probably send flocks of fans there, and the A's will make their money from that way. But is that really how to grow a team, to rely on opposing fans to fill your ballpark? I don't know. I'm interested.
Certainly Vegas is the hot commodity in sports these days, though, and a lot of owners willing to spend a lot of money to get there and to dress up their teams. So we'll see how that unfolds. You can find Matt on Twitter at Matt Snyder CBS. So writer and a power ranker. I just think that's such a great phrase to put into a noun form. Power ranker for CBS Sports, Major League Baseball. It's always great to catch a couple minutes with you. We'll look ahead to the halfway point and have you back on the show again. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
We haven't talked much about the A's and their move to Vegas, but the big news that was breaking on Monday is that there are plans in place, and the A's are looking for finances. They're looking for a partnership with the city of Las Vegas, but they've reached an agreement with Bally's and the gaming and leisure properties to build this possible stadium on the Strip, on the Las Vegas Strip. We will talk about Vegas and the scene and whether it can support baseball with a native who's also been in the sports betting industry for 40 years. So that will come up tomorrow night as part of the Hump Show. Will you sign up for the Peacock streaming services simply to watch a wild card game during the NFL postseason? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this edition of the show, second one of the work week. I do measure the success of my weeks based on how quickly the shows go by. Don't act like you don't already start to look ahead to the weekend, too. I don't want to hear it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Through the window to Jokic, backdoor cut, dunk, two hands, Aaron Gordon.
Just run that pick and roll. You called it earlier. They don't have an answer for it.
27-point lead now for Denver. Cross-court pass, Reggie to three. Got it! And, Scotty, you can take the D out of Dover because this thing is over.
Driving down the middle, runner to AD, slammed up. And AD steals the inbounds pass, and they foul him. Oh, the Lakers feel it now. LeBron dribbling toward the basket, got to the rim, lays it up and in. Plus a foul. The Lakers are up 15.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The best of the West still standing. The Lakers, who had to go through the play-in tournament, and the Nuggets, who appeared to be falling off the pace in the late stages of the regular season, but they have reverted to the form that made them the top team in the West and the number one seed. They have home court advantage. They will host the opener of the Western Conference Finals coming up on Tuesday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I realized, by the way, that I did it again. I did it again on the first show of the work week. I teased you with a story about why my car, Princess Leia is her name, why she smells like gasoline on the inside. Well, as it turns out, I got busy on Sunday night into Monday morning, and I forgot because I'm a dodo. Don't you worry. The car still smells like gasoline, and I will share the story before this hour is up. All right, how's that for a tease? I will share the story before the hour is up. That means before the Western Conference Finals tip off in the Mile High City. LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Anthony Davis. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited about the possibilities here. When they met in the bubble in 2020, people were looking at that as the aberration. Require an asterisk. It's not legit. It's not real. Any team that won a championship in 2020, well, it wasn't the same. It didn't count for the same. It shouldn't go down in history as an equivalent to, say, 21 or 22. Except here we are with the same Final Four from the NBA's bubble now in 23. So the more things change, the more they stay the same. LeBron James on facing the Nuggets now as opposed to 2020.
They're better, but they were great then, and they're great now. But I think, you know, Joker has gotten two more years under his belt. Jamal has gotten back to his regular form after the injury. And the rest of those guys have been playing exceptional basketball. So, but you know, they're really, 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 really good team.
I actually don't agree with LeBron. I'm sure he's just being generous. They were not great then. The Nuggets were not great then. What we found out, though, in the bubble is that Jamal Murray had the potential to be a star. Remember, he was terrific in the bubble. And so, yeah, the Nuggets have a guy who's coming back from injury but is reverted to that form. Nikola Jokic is a lot better. He's won two MVP awards since the bubble. But the Nuggets have never beaten the Lakers in their playoff history. They lost all seven series against LA in their history. Then that does include the bubble in 2020. But the home court could be critical. The Nuggets led the league with 40 wins at home. And they have not lost at Ball Arena in this postseason so far. So that could be huge. And a lot of times, the home court advantage or the home field or the home ice advantage in Denver really does have to do with the higher altitude and the fact that it can be taxing for a lot of guys. Now, you would think at this point in the season, they would be in premier shape. But still, it does tend to require a little extra from your respiratory system. Plus, there's Nikola Jokic. 3 triple-doubles in the last round alone, and he's doing it all right now.
His energy is second to none. He plays at a high level every single game. His availability, he's always in uniform, and that's what separates him from a lot of guys in our league. He pretty much plays every game. And he's very experienced. So we know what we're going against when it comes to him, and he plays the game the right way.
We're likely to get Jokic versus AD in these playoffs, which is interesting considering that most big men, but these particular big men do love to jack up the threes. It's not like they're James Harden or anything, but they will try to draw the defense out by hanging on the perimeter or heading out toward the perimeter, trying to open up the lane. They're both long. They've got great reach. Now, we would look at Anthony Davis as the better defensive player, right? Jokic doesn't tank on defense, but it's not his strong suit. However, there isn't a way that he can't hurt you. I know it's a double negative. Offensively, he can hurt the Lakers in a ton of different ways. If they try to double him, well, he's one of the best passing big men in the NBA. He's a facilitator as well as a scorer. And if he's around the basket and there's a rebound, chances are he's in the mix for it. But also, it's a pair of all-stars in AD and LeBron. The Nuggets' consistency is the reason why they were able to hang on to the one seed. Remember, they backpedaled a bunch. It took them forever to clinch that top seed. But Darvin Ham says, don't be fooled.
I just think they're a solid ball club, man. They play, they know who they want to play through. You know, they got their two big dogs and Jokic and Murray. And they know who they are. They don't try to draw any extra attention to themselves. They're a well-disciplined, well-coached ball club. They're efficient and, you know, they're physical. They can play fast. They share the ball. They play the right way. They defend. So it's just, they're just a solid, solid program that just goes about their business.
I would say the Nuggets are tougher than they were a few years ago, but I don't think we can call them soft anymore. And they have made a commitment to defense. And I do believe that the playoff experience they've accumulated in the last few years is valuable to them. However, when it comes to LeBron specifically, but also Anthony Davis, they've got championship heart and mettle and experience. And as the Warriors found out, these guys can take their games to the next level this time of the year. Looking forward to this one. I'm wondering, actually, if people are looking forward to Nuggets-Lakers as much as they were with Warriors-Lakers. Just because the profile's not quite there with the Nuggets. Though, I think if you invest in watching them, Dexter Henry, people should find out they enjoy the style of basketball.
Oh, yeah. Nuggets are a good team. I'm a big NBA guy, and the Nuggets have been playing well, and it's time for people to really respect what Jokic is doing, because I think a lot of people thought that he would not be able to carry the team offensively in terms of putting the ball in the basket mm-hmm. in the playoffs. He's done that. And the Nuggets are a fun watch. I think it's going to be a really good series.
I actually do enjoy the potential for teams, franchises, who've never won a title to finally get that monkey off their back. So that's one of the fun storylines about the Nuggets, too, is they've come close.
Yep.
But they've never gotten that NBA championship, so this could be the year.
This could be the year. Are you rooting for the Nuggets?
I don't root because then people get angry at me, but I love fresh blood. I love new storylines.
Yeah.
Nothing against the Lakers. They're one of the most decorated teams in all of sports, certainly in the NBA, seeking, what, their 18th?
That's correct.
18th NBA title, as are the Celtics, if they could get to the NBA Finals again. And who wouldn't love Celtics-Lakers just because it's classic?
That's what the NBA wants. Mm. That's what they want.
Don't speak that, because people will believe it's rigged.
That's true.
However, and I think the Lakers are, at this point, they're one of the best stories that we've seen.
Oh, yeah.
This version of the Lakers starting out 2-10, having to go through the play-in tournament, the retooling of the lineup. But the Nuggets would be awesome, too, because that fan base hasn't tasted a championship. And, well, Colorado Avalanche, I take that back. The Avalanche won the Stanley Cup last year. But if you're thinking about the Broncos, they made the playoffs since Super Bowl 50.
Right.
Yeah, the Rockies, well, I guess they've done a couple of wild card appearances, right? But they've also not necessarily get taken seriously. And here are the Nuggets. This could be their chance. The road is clear for them. They should win this series.
I think they should with home court and everything. But I think it's going to be tough.
It
LeBron
is.
And AD are going to be tough. And this is going to be
formidable.
A fantastic series.
Yeah. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
All right. Find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Will you sign up for the Peacock streaming service or will you cheat?
What have people been saying, Amy?
Well, at this point, you've got people who say Peacock is the best app if you're looking for sports because there's a bunch of options on there. The Olympics would likely be on there. You point out the
Premier League.
The Premier mm-hmm. League, and there are others. But there are a bunch of people who are like me. Hey, I'm just maxed out when it comes to streaming. I have cable for a reason. I pay for cable for a reason. And I'm being serious. I do pay for cable still because I can't live without it as someone who works in this business. But I also pay for three other streaming services. And so that's kind of where I have to draw the line.
I get it. There's a threshold for everything with everyone,
I
right?
pay for SiriusXM so that I can have the radio broadcast of every game, every sport, anytime. That's why I have it, because of out-of-market games. And because I need to follow some sports that I just don't have on TV. So I pay for SiriusXM, I pay for Amazon Prime, and I pay for Paramount Plus, and that's kind of where I could have to draw the line.
That's where you got to draw the line. You do not do Sunday Ticket, right? You're not a Sunday
no.
Ticket watcher.
No, I can't watch all those games all at once anyway.
Yeah.
So instead, NFL Network is a great resource.
There you go.
They air I don't love Red Zone because I actually prefer to watch games, but the cool thing about it, the secret is that seconds after it airs on Red Zone, it's on the actual NFL Network.
Yeah.
So if you can be patient for all of 30 seconds, you'll get it on NFL Network.
If people can be patient, right.
So I've got secrets for my Sunday secrets, if you will.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting to see. Mm-hmm. And really what team, it really comes down to what team and what game is in that Saturday night wild card game.
Yeah, if it's a window, again, if it features, say, the Bills or a team that's got a really, not just passionate fan base, but also a really rabid following around the country, Steelers, for instance, would be huge. You mentioned the Cowboys beforehand.
Yep, I'm a Steelers fan, so yeah.
I don't think the NFL is above putting one of its best wild card games on streaming.
Oh, no.
But we know that there is a price to pay. Even with Amazon Prime, the viewership was way down. So if the NFL does that at the expense of its national TV audience, they will lose out because there's no way that Peacock or Amazon Prime can compete with the viewership numbers on regular networks, and that's how they set their ad revenue. So is the NFL willing to sacrifice one of its good matchups or one of its best matchups when it comes to ad revenue?
That's a good point that you bring up, and they're going to have to think about that in terms of, like we said, there's a price point for everyone, mm-hmm. right? Where at some point you're not going to be able to do this. So
right.
I know they got $110 million reportedly from the Wall Street Journal, but yeah, if you're losing other ad revenue and eyeballs mm-hmm. that you could have been getting, that's
eyeballs.
Not what you want. Right.
Eyeballs want. And earballs. That's
eyeballs
what we call them around here.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's fun to hear from new people all over the country.
Hello, Amy. This is my first time ever calling a radio show, ever.
Nice to finally talk to you, first-time caller.
Thank you.
First-time caller, love your show.
Hi, Amy. I'm a first-time caller. Add to the list of everybody else tonight.
That's awesome.
First-time caller, thanks for taking my call.
First-time caller.
Woo!
Long-time listener.
Hey, Amy, it's first-time caller here.
We need to start a tally. All these new people calling in. We're glad you're listening, and we're glad that you've gotten over your shyness.
We'll keep turning up the radio.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Some of you are responding on Twitter and Facebook to tell me that Comcast includes the Peacock streaming service. I don't happen to have Comcast. I have Verizon, which does not include the Peacock streaming service. But there is the option of maybe using your Comcast or switching to Comcast. And then, so that's Donna. Thank you for letting us know. And then I saw Laura both tweeted and posted a message on Facebook about Xfinity cable, or her Xfinity package also includes Peacock. So some of you will have it, some of you will not, and will have to choose. Will you subscribe or try out the Peacock streaming service simply for an NFL playoff game? Wild card weekend, Saturday night, under the lights. Now, the conundrum for the NFL is what game do they make Saturday night? Just for FYI purposes, Saturday night is the least watched night on TV because people are out. People very often do not sit around and watch TV at home on Saturday nights. Now, during a big college football weekend or wild card weekend for the NFL, you're going to have more people, but chances are the majority of people are still out at bars, or maybe they're watching with friends or parties, or they're not catching it live because they're on a date or they're hanging out with friends. It's the least watched night on TV. Both Friday and Saturday nights are both difficult nights to lure people to the TV. Now, Wild Card Weekend is special. Last year it was Jaguars, Chargers. I'm not telling you that those are not high-profile quarterbacks in Trevor Lawrence and in Justin Herbert, but they're not high-profile teams. So think about the fact that the NFL put Jaguars-Chargers on Saturday night, recognizing that they're maybe falling on the sword a little bit with that Saturday night game. Now they're putting it on Peacock. There's a reason why they're not taking the Sunday afternoon game and putting it on Peacock. There's a reason. I'll go back and look at the ratings for the particular games for Wild Card Weekend, but there's a method to the madness for the NFL. They're not going to put their most high profile game on Saturday night. They never would, whether it's Peacock or otherwise. Those games are reserved for Sunday afternoon primarily. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook. Will you grab Peacock specifically for an NFL postseason game? I do not have Peacock. I will not be streaming it. Unless they give me a free trial, I will A, listen to it on the radio because I already pay for SiriusXM. B, catch it on NFL Network hours after so that I can then watch it in its entirety. I promised you before the top of the hour to tell you why Princess Leia smells like gas on the inside. Still, Saturday, I took my gas can. I went to the gas station in my town to fill up because I had to do a bunch of yard work. The man filled up the gas can, hands it back to me through the window of my car. As he does that, it splashes all over. Apparently, he did not close it correctly or did not close the top all the way. It's supposed to be spill-proof. Nope, found out it was not spill-proof. Or, again, he didn't close it correctly. Because as he's handing it into the window, it's full, right? So the gas is splashing inside the can and splash all over my leg, my shorts, in between my legs, onto the seat, on the door of my car, even onto the floor there in the driver's side. So the entire inside of my car smelled like gasoline. I smelled like gasoline. But since I was going outside to mow, I didn't feel the need to change. I do think I was flammable for quite a while. I was. What? I was made of flammable materials. It was gross. The smell is rancid.
What did he say?
Oh, sorry.
That's it?
Sorry about that. I thought it was closed.
My bad?
I mean, he didn't say that. He was an older gentleman, so he did not say my bad. But he did say, oh, no, sorry. I'm so sorry about that. I guess it wasn't closed all the way.
Oh, I guess so. I guess. A little Monday morning quarterbacking
in
there.
Oh, my goodness. Right, so I smelled. I stunk. I don't like to leave my car windows open when Princess Leia is parked in the driveway. Do you know why, Producer Jay? Remember what happened last year? It seemed like all summer long.
The showers?
No, the spiders somehow get inside the car and they crawl down the windshield or drop from the ceiling of the car while I'm driving. So underneath the tree, I do not leave my windows open because there are spiders more likely to gain free entry into the car. So I couldn't leave it open. I did spray some carpet cleaner, actually, and rub it into the seat to try to take the gas stench out of the seat. I can still smell it, though. I don't think I'm flammable anymore, though, so phew.
Guy had one job.
At least that's over. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.